Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Well, it was one of the biggest swinging weeks of the Supercoach season so far, with the modern day Hulk Hogan himself, Ryan Pappenhausen, busting out a monstrous 136 points against the Warriors for owners. On the other end of the spectrum, Kalen Ponga dished out 34 of the best for his owners, blowing up my social media feed with haters complaining about me advising them to hold. My sensitivities aside, team culture has been a prevailing theme the last 48 hours, with Lachie Galvin declaring he does not see himself developing to the required level under coach Benji Marshall. He has felt the wrath of his teammates, with a reverse coup d'etat seeing the young gun Tiger dropped New South Wales Cup for round 7 and seemingly on the outer with all his teammates, at least if you're a big viewer of Instagram. Tonight I'm joined by a couple of super coaches who, if nothing else, are very big on culture. First up, it's co-host of the Sunday Snap and coach of Tubes' pods, Tubes. Tubes, what do you make of the Lachie Galvin drama?
Oh, I fully support the Tigers and their stance for this week.
Big culture guy.
Like, I think you got to rally around. You got to rally around your team, and if people don't want to be there, then yeah, see you later.
Like, it's a very unique situation, though, isn't it? Considering he's still got almost two full years to run on his contract.
Yeah, I know that, but like, Jono and I have been approached for, you know, about the snap and going across to some other feeds and with the popularity, and we've made a commitment to the Ballers, and
that's true,
and a commitment to you. So I think that we've felt a little bit of that. And so I understand Galvin's situation, and I've stayed loyal. So
correct.
Yeah.
That's why I said a couple of guys who are very big on culture, and it's a beautiful segue, because joining me tonight, fresh off a 1 year deal, I should say, with the SC Ballers, it's coach of the Haas Beans and proud Ken Barron, Jono. Jono, congratulations on your SC Ballers main pod debut tonight. It's lovely to have you along, and congratulations on the roaring success of the show that you host, the Sunday Snap.
Thanks, Matty. Good to be here. It's almost like being asked to go back to play New South Wales Cup after being in the NRL, coming onto the main pod, as you call it. But I've got to say, Matt, Ryan Pappenhausen, relating him to Hulk Hogan, I don't know if you're keeping up with Hulk Hogan's doings these days, but that's a huge insult to Ryan Pappenhausen in the year 2025.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I was speaking specifically about the haircut, to be clear.
Okay, fair enough, good.
Yeah. The platinum blonde. Tubes obviously bought him. Tubes said he would have bought him if he knew his hair was blonde prior to round one. He was a platinum blonde. He would have bought him in and started with him for that big score that he got in round one. Anyway, mate, how you been? It's nice to see your lovely face.
That's good. Good to be here. Been loving the Supercoach this year. Obviously, being on the Sunday Snap with Tubes, doing that as a weekly show means very, very invested, and feel like I've got a lot of good knowledge, even if it hasn't always translated into my own Supercoach team so far this year. But we'll see how we go with the advice tonight.
How are you going, Jono? What are you ranked?
I'm down to 21,000. Unless, was that a podcast rankings you're wondering, or my Supercoach rank? If we're talking about Supercoach ranks, I'm down to 21,000 after a pretty good start. I've actually, with every week, the trades I'm making have made my team considerably worse. So hoping that this is the week that I can start to get back on track.
Oh, I'm sure you're ranked higher than 21,000 in the podcast ARIA charts, mate.
You'd hope so.
No. Tubes, how did you end up on the weekend?
I know
avid listeners from the Snap will know, but just for those main pod listeners.
Yeah, without wanting to repeat myself, because I think I'd say that anyone that listens to the main pod's probably fed in off the Snap on Sunday night, but I ended up upgrading as an update. We had an 1196, so not a terrible round overall, considering I captained Ponga
For zero.
Over Pappenhausen. And it's bumped me up in the rankings. I'm just behind Jono at 22,000, around the 22,000 mark. So still in with a fighting chance. I had a look at my rank this time last year, and I wasn't too far off where I'm at. And And I fought my way back into, I think, the top 500 over the bye period. So I'm still holding out hope that the right pod moves are gonna get me up, back climbing back up the leaderboard.
Well, we can see what a knife's edge these ranks are on. Like, it was basically the decision between you captaining Paps and Ponga has cost you 140 points. You would have then you would have pumped out almost 1340 on the weekend, which would have probably risen you about 6,000 or 7,000 spots. I would have thought so. It's definitely like if you can make the right calls on your captains and make those right sit starts. We saw Purdue obviously ton up with a big 121 on the weekend, and he was a real difference maker as well for teams out there. I had a 1325 on the weekend, which was good. I didn't play Purdue, but I did captain Pappenhausen. So, and then just a good consistent output from the Terrace Crew squad members across the board. Culture very strong at the moment at Terrace Crew. We got no dissenters in the ranks. Everyone just putting their hand up to do their role. And that's good enough to take me up to 122nd overall. So haven't been this high for a fairly long time, so feeling the pressure a little bit. Made two trades or three, I can't remember. No, three. I boosted on the weekend. So, pretty happy with the squad set up and looking forward to hearing from you boys what I should do this weekend. It's always easier, Tubes. I find you're probably the best super coach advisor away from your own team. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, Jono says outside of I'm good at giving advice, just not taking it myself. I do have Correct. A bit of advice for you, Matt, and that's could that be the last time you say the word culture and talk about your team as if it's a real team of players? Like, it's a fantasy football team we're talking Correct. About here. Nothing grinds my gears more than that type of chat. So that's my advice for you to kick off the episode.
I appreciate the feedback, Tubes. I don't know if it's getting you beat, then culture's going to remain strong throughout the Terrace Crew for the rest of the night and the rest of the season. let's get into some admin, boys. Got to give a shout out to the Baller League, which remains open. So if you are highly ranked, I'd suggest getting in there. 730-730-444. We got $5,000 worth of prizes in that league for this season. We're keeping it open for a while, probably going to close it around mid-season. But please jump in. We got over 1,600, 1,700 people in there now. And Joel, the coach of Year of the Eagle, has made his way to not only the top of the Baller League rankings, he's also number one overall in Supercoach. So incredible achievement, Joel. I don't know, Jono, Tubes, none of us have ever been ranked number one. Can only imagine how that would feel.
It'd be absolutely incredible. Hopefully you can hold on. It'd be good to see a baller take out the super coach top rank in year one of ballers making the big push. But well done. Big score on the weekend. I believe he brought in Dave Fafita as well. So yeah, a couple of savvy moves have shot him right up that leaderboard.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Joel. Huge 14-21 for him on the weekend. Also, we've got two other teams in the top 10. The Feb Dogs, coached by Anthony, and Stanthorpe Steamer, who coached by Nathan, who's also had a strong start to the year. They're ranked 5th and 10th, respectively. So well done, boys. Big shout out to our own man, C-Mac, Chris, as well. He is ranked 29th overall. He had red arrows this week, moved down one spot. So I'm sure he's okay with that. His team's well set up. But Chris, I'm coming after you for top baller contributor. It's going to get tight at the top there. So just to repeat, 730-444 is the league code to come and join us. Next shout out is for baller.live. Now, many of you will have gone and checked that out. The feedback has been overwhelming. Some really, really positive views. We had a really big update on the weekend, actually, Jono. We got the minutes in there. So minutes and who's on and off the field. How did you check it out?
I was obsessed with it. Yeah. I gave it a huge rap on the Sunday Snap this week, Matt. I think the Supercoach world has been yearning for this feature from a Supercoach website. It's literally been a case of go to NRL.com, which shows a completely different type of fantasy rugby league. It's not relevant. You go on Fox Sports, they don't show the minutes. You go on the Supercoach app, they don't show the minutes until after lockout's completed. So I think to have something out there that's so easy, you can see Supercoach scores up against the minutes they played, which can be a big factor when you're looking at making future plans for your, particularly around the forwards. I was obsessed with it.
Correct. And you can really live and die by it when you can't watch a game. I was actually out on the golf course with the Podfather on Sunday afternoon. He just brought in Jerome Hughes and he got the Baller Live app up and, yeah, he'd seen that 41 minutes red. He's gone off, 16 points. Devastating, but at least he got that devastation in real time. Didn't have to go and look into what had happened. So yeah, look, it's we're getting a lot of feedback and we're trying to implement quick changes as quick as possible. We rightly got pointed out that TA, a try assist is not TA, it's TS. So we've updated that. TA is tackle, of course. But yeah, and a big shout out to the community because some contributors from the community have really got behind us. Got a shout out the SC Experience and Supercoach Whisperer particularly for giving us a big push on their socials. We really appreciate it. And yeah, just if anyone keep pushing the word around, baller.live, get around us basically. Tubes.
Interesting, Matt, you mentioned the community.
Mm.
Just like we've had a lot of people reach out about the Snap, like they want to set up a bit of a community environment. Right. Like they, some of them have started calling themselves the Snappers.
Yep.
I've thought about, do I start a Patreon account and sort of, you know, set something up, but yeah, we might need to think about some community engagement because there's everyone's sort of loving this new baller.live and sort of the content that we're bringing out. So something worth just fleshing out that there could be something from the Sunday Snap coming soon.
Bit of a rumor, Tubes, that there was actually a Tubes Crew Patreon set up and ready to go for the time when you did want to launch it. Can you confirm or deny that?
There was something floating around. I could potentially switch that to the Snappers pretty soon. Snap Crew.
No. Community's building. We're just growing slowly and organically, and that's why it's got to give a shout out to those who are supporting us. It's much appreciated, and we'll keep supporting those who support us, and we just want to grow Supercoach, and we want to make it better for everyone, and the community is a huge part of that, and we want to help grow the community. So it's really, really great. Make sure you do check us out on our socials on X, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We're at SC Ballers on most of those. We're at SC.Ballers on YouTube. TikTok's going bananas, Tubes, and that's in no small part to you and your one of our most popular videos so far has been your deleting the app of Kalen Pong after Kalen Pong is it was 21 at the time, but 34 on the weekend.
Yeah, you'll be happy to know the app's back on my phone tonight.
Good. I should hope so. All right, finally, promo Sunday Snap. We got both the hosts on tonight. Give them a listen. They're about three listens about from going past the main pod. So I know Jono thinks they've already passed it, but not quite. But the popularity has been huge, and the boys are doing a great job. I'm going to give them a lot of crap about it tonight. But, yeah, they're doing a fantastic job, and please go and check out the Sunday Night podcast.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. For this game.
Let's get into our baller blueprint strategy chat to kick us off tonight for a bit more hardcore Supercoach chat. And I thought tonight that we would go into fullbacks and specifically fullbacks for the bye period. So it's been a very swingy start to the year for fullbacks. And Jono, I think it'd be fair to say that most haven't come out too badly from a selection standpoint. Like all the fullbacks have kind of had their moments. Obviously, particularly Gutho, jumping on Gutho at the right time was important. And then Isaiah Yonge was all the talk of the preseason, but a lot of teams who have Yonge are doing well and a lot of teams who never had Yonge are doing quite well. Obviously, he had a poor score on the weekend, but I don't think he's been a real difference maker so far. As we move into, sorry, I know I've introduced you, Jono, a while back there. As we move into the origin period, how are you set up with fullbacks and how are you planning to navigate the origin period with your fullbacks?
Yeah, it hasn't been that consistent premium position that we would have expected it to be. Like you mentioned, that they've had some highs. There's been a lot of lows too, like Tommy Turbo, Ryan Pappenhausen hasn't really had a low, but he did have a buy in there at one stage.
And an injury.
Reece Walsh has had lows. I'd say the most... Yeah, true, and an injury. But the most consistent one's probably been Teddy. Like, he has just been doing what he does week in, week out, and the longer the Roosters go on, the more they seem convinced that he just needs to be the man. And I think that brings us in beautifully into that origin chat because the Roosters have fantastic buy coverage. They play the three big buy rounds. Those rounds are 12, 15, and 18 this year. Teddy plays all three of those. So I think they have a buy in round 10, the Roosters. I think that coming into round 11, he is the biggest must-have in all of Supercoach. I think he's one of those players, if you don't have him over that buy period, you could be very badly left behind. Any risk at all that he plays Origin at all, fellas?
I don't know what you think, Tubes, but I think that the only risk he doesn't play Origin is if Edwards gets injured.
Even then, depends what Turbo's fitness is like by then, Luttrell.
Pappy,
like it feels like they, I know it's a different coach this year with Madge moving on and Laurie taking over. So, actually, how could you ever get in the mind of Laurie? But it does feel like, it does feel like they made a decision to move on from him last year.
Agree.
Yeah. So it feels low.
Yep. Yep. I think they might even go with someone else, even if Edwards is injured. I'm with you there, Tubes. John, I'm going to raise you on Teddy's buy coverage. You mentioned he plays all the major buy rounds, 12, 15, 18. He also plays all the minor buy rounds as well, which are those games after Origin when there are three teams on the buy. So they've been very tricky to navigate because you've got to field a full squad of 18 for that. You need 17 scoring players. So Roosters play 13, 16, and 19 as well. So they have their buys all around that. So round 10, as you mentioned, then they have buy around 14 and round 17. So all your other players should be playing those weeks because there's no Origin, there's no backup from Origin. So the Roosters really do have the best possible Origin period. Just as a side to that, Roosters players who do play Origin are definite trade outs. Like if Connor Watson plays Origin, he'll have to go because they'll miss the Origin rounds and then they'll miss buys between there. And then if they don't back up, they might not play for the Roosters for a month. I'm with you on Teddy. Tubes, could you bring Teddy in before that round 10 buy, like this week or next week, potentially?
Like you definitely could if you're in a position to need to make a trade at fullback. I think the only people possibly their trade in this week is looking at a Yongi. But I think Pappenhausen is the clear-cut person to bring in at the moment. I wouldn't be getting rid of the likes of Gutho. So I just don't think I was talking about rage trading Kalen Ponga, but I'm in the cold light of day on a Monday morning, that looked a little bit silly. And so I just don't think there's a lot of moves to be made at fullback this week, but I certainly do think that Teddy is up there if you already own Pappenhausen and you're looking to make a move.
Yeah, it's interesting because they got Penrith, then I think they've got Dragons, then Dolphins. So Dragons and Dolphins are really great games for him. And then if you have him before that buy, you end up having to get an extra player who's probably going to get you that sort of 50 to 55 points. So you really actually kind of buy in, I think, about an 80 average for Teddy. I think it's a bit of a wait and see. I'm gonna hold this week. I think he's a fine player. We've seen Penrith are conceding a lot of points so far. And I know people who have jumped on him already are quite happy. Jono, the other big buy coverage guy who doesn't actually play around 12 is Scott Drinkwater. And they play this. They've got the bye this week, but then they come into a very favourable draw where they've got the Titans at home first up. Even without that round 12 coverage, could you entertain Drinky given that they play every match then between round 13 and round 26?
Yeah, I think he's another one. Like I'd have him and Teddy as the two best targets of fullback. I think especially this year. Having the flex position, shout out to the flex, having that position there, Drinky maybe does seem a little bit less premium this year than what he has in the past just because the Cowboys are a little bit shaky. But because he can have three of them now, I think that risk is pretty well mitigated and I'd feel very, very comfortable and would strongly encourage people to have Drinky coming into that spot. They're, it's not just their buy coverage, Matt. If you look at the draw that they have over Origin, it's a really nice draw against some decent – when I say decent teams, decent for him to score against teams from Supercoach perspective. So I think he's a bit of a no-brainer as well. I'll be moving heaven and earth to get Teddy and Drinky over that period.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jono. I want Drinky next week, to be honest. Like I'm looking on moving someone like a Reece Walsh to him next week. Tubes, how are you treating guys who have done well to start the year but, you know, for whatever reason, they might be maxing out in cash like a Gutho, or they might be playing Origin like a Ponga, or even a Paps. Like, there's some chat that Paps might get 14 for the Blues, or he's obviously, if Edwards goes down, then he'd be a big chance for fullback as well. How are you approaching those guys in terms of when you would want to get, I know you're not a Gutho owner, but when you would want to get those guys out of your team in the lead up to Origin? Would it be the last possible moment, or could you look at moving them on earlier, depending on circumstances?
I don't think you need to factor it in. Like, I know there's the talk about Origin and how important that sort of bye schedule is. I think if you're planning to have Teddy and Drinky over that period, I wouldn't think too much about like who the third fullback is at the moment. Like, you'd be happy to carry, like, I think it's circumstantial based on, you know, how the next week, few weeks progress and how you're sort of feeling about your team. There's just not that many other options that play 12 and 15 or yep. or 15 and 18. Like, Gutho does play 15 and 18 as an example. You assume Edwards is going to get picked, and Penrith have an okay schedule. Same with Kalen Ponga. They have a decent schedule. I think it's going to be interesting that over that bye period, there's going to be a few centre wing options that have sort of that dual fullback, like Connor Tracy plays all three byes. Fletcher Sharp plays the first two big byes, and he'll probably fill in at fullback with Ponga out. So I think I wouldn't be worrying it about trying to fill that third premium. I think the targets are Drinky and Teddy, as you said, and then it's trying to find those high upside guys around it for that bye period.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. My feeling on Drinky is that he has underperformed. I'll rephrase that. I think he's been a bit of a victim of circumstances with the Cows' poor early season form, to which, you know, you could potentially attribute some of that to him, but I think predominantly to the rest of the team. And I think with the goal kicking, we know he's got a monster ceiling when he gets going. I think, as Jono said, they've got a great draw. I just think we haven't seen what we're going to see from Drinky, and I'm really happy to back that in, especially at that price. I think he's cut price at, what is he, 690K or something like that. So I'm all over Drinky, basically. I think that I'm going to stay pretty staunch on my three-gun fullback strategy before buys. Like, I just think we've seen again, like, Pappenhausen popped off on the weekend. It was Gutho the week before. You really need one of those guys to go off every week, even if they're your captain or not your captain. You just have to own them. So, I'm going to stick strong to that. Gutho, I think, is a guy you can flip in and out on your team based on draw. I realize he's had tons in games they've lost so far this year, but I don't think he's an 800-plus K fullback as a general rule. I think he's probably a 700K fullback, so I'm going to have no problem selling him to Teddy when the time is right. But I'm going to free roll on him this weekend. Anyone else? Reece Walsh is obviously, he's probably going to be a sell unless he can pop off this week. Tommy Trbojevic tubes. Any interest in Turbo over the Origin period, you know, gets picked or not? He's probably due back around 8 or 9.
If he's fit, he gets picked for Origin. So, no, don't want to own him. Like, I don't think.
Yeah. Jono?
Is that not it?
No, I just want to hear Jono's opinion.
I think they do play 12, 15, and 18, the Seagulls. So, if by some chance Laurie Daly, like I said, Tube said, you can't get in the mind of Laurie. If there's some chance that Laurie doesn't pick him, of course, you'd have him straight in. I think you'd have an extra motivated Tommy Trbojevic with a point to prove if he doesn't get picked for Origin. But I do agree that if he's back by round 9, he's got a few weeks to prove his fitness, I think he's straight into the centres for New South Wales.
Yeah, I think even potentially wing now as well is a pretty big possibility.
With Zach Lomax out.
Yeah, Lomax out. And they're pretty flush with centres. Big Bad Brian's obviously probably got a mortgage on one of those wing spots, but I reckon it's probably down to Turbo or Carraz, maybe, depending on how Carraz comes back. Let's segue into just our general fullback positional analysis. And one of the guys who, he's like we mentioned him already, he's done a job now, break even a 2 this week, Isaiah Yongi, 435K, Jono. He's still 55% owned, not being sold off in, like, massively this week, only 2.9% sell-off. Is the time right now for Yongi? They do have quite a nice matchup against the Tigers this week.
Look, he's still got the break even of two, so I think I'd hold him for one more week. He has showed glimpses. He's shown that he's going to be a good football player. The biggest concern is just that Parramatta aren't very good, and his opportunities to show that have been limited. But when they did score a few points two rounds ago, he looked fantastic. With a break even of two, I would give him another go and then look to move him on next week if he gets another low to middling score.
Yeah, I can take or leave, and I know you sold him a few weeks ago, Jono. But yeah, I'm like I said, I'm just really high on getting that three gun fullback plan in place. If I still owned, I'm not sure. It's a really hard one. I think I'd probably keep as well, like you said. I'm just really stewing over this one now. I haven't given Yongie much consideration all season, but yeah, I think I'd hold for another week. And try and just get that one big score this week, because then that could be his ticket to 550K. Tubes, Reece Walsh, 604K. He's still 15% owned, roughly. He's got a break even of 51 this week, 604K. Would you be happy as an owner to hold on to Reece Walsh for one more week as his kind of last chance saloon before they run into the Bulldogs next week and potentially moving him on?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely holding him for this week against the Warriors. And I think I'll make the assessment next week based on who's available. Yep. I still think he's a possible hold for a few more weeks. You got Magic Round coming up. It has and it hasn't. I don't think the frustrating part is he just hasn't had that week where he's popped off. And that's probably what I'm holding out for. Like, I feel like it's going to happen. I'm hoping it happens this week. I mean, if he pops off this week and goes 100+, you're probably going to hold him against the Bulldogs and see a bit of a price rise over the following few weeks. If he has a mediocre game and there's someone on the bubble at fullback next week worth looking at bringing in, like a drink water, then I'll definitely look to consider that for sure.
Yep, I'm an owner as well. I'm holding at this stage this week. I think you're kind of free rolling a bit with him and Gutho. They've both got very manageable break
evens. Who's selling? No one's selling, are they?
No, not really. But I think
I would sell. 0% sold at the moment.
I'm getting to a but that's net zero. Pardon the pun. I don't know what the pun is, but it's net zero. So some people have sold and some people have bought. I was trying to make a point there, Chips, that I'm holding.
Sorry.
But you can, I think if you were to like, okay, I'm really keen to get Teddy in and I want to set my team up for Teddy for the buys and I want to upgrade Reece Walsh to Tedesco, I wouldn't be adverse to that. I think that's a viable option, viable strategy. As John, I haven't put the patent on that one yet. But yeah, I think that's very viable to do. But I think he's a hold, because I think if he, as you mentioned, Tubes, if he does have that game where he pops off and scores a ton, you can make an assessment after that. But I think you're right. That's what we're all waiting for. My issue is we just haven't seen – it hasn't felt like it's about to come at any point during any match that Reece Walsh is about to explode. And, you know, he's had a couple of nice passes over the top to Arthurs. But it just doesn't feel the same. I don't know. I'm not confident that it's going to happen. But it is what it is. I'm hopeful. Kalen Ponga. Jono, 667K now, break even of 137, still 38% owned. Obviously, I was pretty vocal last week saying don't sell Ponga. He had the seemingly nice matchup against the Tigers. And then he's got Sharks at home this week, which, you know, generally would have been quite an okay matchup for him. He's going to drop more money this week, more than likely. A few are selling. Tubes has just said that he's probably not going to sell. I would still be in the camp of not selling. I just think he's too cheap. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to hold. I just think he's such a good player. I think he's far better than what he's been so far this year. I think he's better than that 667K price tag. The risk is that he is a big chance of playing Origin, or you could even put him down as an Origin certainty near so.
Yep.
Good news for the Knights is if he does play Origin, Tube spoke about which of these fullbacks you hold through that period. The Knights do play all the mini-buy rounds. They play 13, 16 and 19. And I would like to think that Ponga Knights will probably need him to back up. I think he's one of those guys who, if he gets through with no head injuries, obviously that'd sit him out. But if he gets through physically fine, I think he's a big chance of backing up in those games because the Knights will need him to. So I actually think that bye schedule kind of suits him not too badly.
Yeah, and I also think if he is playing Origin, it's likely at 14. So that increases his chances as well to back up.
See, I think he'll be starting fullback.
Nah, he'll be fullback.
Mm.
I think he's over Reece,
Lightning.
Yep.
I think he does. I just don't think Hunt that, 14. I mean, Hunt he wasn't 14. Picked last year. Mm.
There were circumstances so, like, last year. Wasn't he injured?
No.
He had been, Matt, and then he pulled out of Origin. He removed himself from eligibility.
Oh, that's right.
After not getting picked in the first game.
Yes, because he'd only had one
game. He didn't get picked. Walsh got picked, and then he removed himself from eligibility. Anyway.
It's kind of in the middle because he had been hurt. He had one game back and didn't get picked.
Either way, I think he's a good hold over that bye period regardless. Like, as in, he's a good hold to see what happens in that bye period. After the Sharks this weekend, the Knights have Warriors, Souths, Titans, Eels. It's almost as good as a four-game stretch as you can come up with. And as much as I think that the Knights attack does, they're terrible and it looks dire, you've got to think that he's popping off in one or two of those games.
Yeah, I've got to keep the faith with Ponga. Like, Knights cannot possibly be as bad as they've been in their last two games. Like, circumstances were heavily against Bulldogs when they lost Schiller and Saifidi in, I think, 30 seconds into the game. I think, didn't Saifidi get hurt running out onto the ground or something? Something stupid like that, like before they even started.
Yeah.
And then Schiller got knocked out in the first set. So, like, the weekend, I don't know, I was fleetingly watching on my phone, but it just seemed like every time they got possession, they would drop the ball, and especially Greg. But, yeah, like it's just not – surely it's not going to be like that every week.
I don't think so. 10,000 super coaches don't agree. They've traded him out. But I think that, I think I've come around to – that's probably half of the Snap listeners, and I'm letting you know, community announcement, that I'm holding now. Do not rage trade, Caelan
Ponga. I'll tell you what, that's something I'm hesitant to say newfound fame because I can't say what the SC Ballers are doing is newfound fame, but there really is quite a demand for to really know what's going on with trades. When you put something out there, if you don't do what you say, the fans certainly let you know about it.
Haters gonna hate, Matt. Isn't that what Luai used to put up? Like, haters gonna hate. It's we're really bonding with the Tigers at this episode, so we'll just keep it going.
Yeah, we'll wait till Taylor May gets to the Tigers tubes for the vlogs.
So interesting, Tyson Gamble back for the Knights this week. So hopefully it can only improve moving forward from there. We'll see how it goes.
Oh God, yeah, look. Tyson Frizzell, interestingly, named it prop for the Knights. So I'm hoping that's like a Tommy Cant, like welcome to lock situation for when Dylan Lucas is back next week or the week after. We shall see. I think the Knights surely have to improve. They're not as bad a team as they're showing at the moment. Some serious question marks around the coach.
Lane Miller, fierce to the right, inside.
Let's move on to centre wing, boys. I'm going to start with some guys who are interesting sells this week, who are very highly owned. Let's just go through them all. Young GI, Gerimats Shibasaki, 520K, break-even of 75. Jesse Arthurs, 494K, break-even of 48. He's done the very rare HIA fail, Cat 1, recategorisation to Cat 2 and name to play this week. And the last one is Sevilio Tamale, 428K, break-even of 49. I'm still not over that non-tri-assist, non-line break that he didn't get on the weekend. Jono, give me your order of sellability of those three.
I think you read them out in order. I'd have Young GI. Unfortunately, Shibasaki would be the first one to go for me. He's 520K. There are going to be people out there with enough cash in the bank that they'll be able to do Young GI straight to Jacob Kiraz or straight up to David Fifita if they've got the jewels. So he would absolutely be my number one to go. I'd have Arthurs in second. I think with that break even of 48, he's really nicely playable this weekend. So I would be trying to hold him for another week if I could. And then I'd have Tamale last on my selling list purely because he's worth the least money. And I still think that he could just get one more game. He hasn't scored. I think he's only scored two tries this year so far. If he can, you know, jag a game where he gets a double, he's back off to the races and making a bit more money. So I'd rank him as the one I'll hold for the longest purely because he's the cheapest.
Yeah, I think that cheapest argument holds a lot of water, Jono. Tubes, the Tamale frustration is purely just comes because the Raiders just can't get it out to him. He's getting a cold on the wing most games, and he's not going looking for it like he did in Vegas in round one when we saw him have, you know, just get through so much work. Maybe that was just a debut thing.
Possibly. I think it was a weird game on the weekend, as I think we mentioned. Hudson Young was like roaming the field. So it wasn't just when, like, he basically just wanted the ball in his hands at any given time. So he sort of has to contend with Ethan Strange as well as Hudson Young. And is it Seb Chris inside him? So it's just going to be a struggle for him to get the ball.
That's an all-time blue
hands. I do think
he's
a hold there.
That's an all-time
blue
hands.
Yeah, that's a triple threat.
Yeah.
But they've got the Titans this week. Not known for their defense historically, but certainly this year. So I think he's a definite hold. I actually would flip. I want to keep Young GI Shibasaki this week against the Warriors. But it all comes down to cash. I've only got I'm looking to upgrade two big upgrades this week, and that extra 26K of Shibasaki versus Arthurs, it means a lot to my trades this week. So I think it's team dependent on that.
Yeah, I'd agree. I want to make the case that if you don't have to sell or don't have to trade, I think this is quite a week, probably the weakest week or the weakest round all season for trade options, particularly at center wing. Like, we'll get to Kiraz in a bit in pod of the week, but away from him, there's kind of not a ton of options. Like, there's a lot of doubt around the cheapies, Hirotti and Billy Smith, who we'll get to do in a minute. Herbie Farnworth had a 70 odd on the weekend with a try or try assist, was it? Try assist for Hammer. But I wasn't particularly happy with his role. He wasn't coming in field a lot. I still think he's a very premium option, and I'm sure he will get those points. But yeah, I don't know. I like, none of them are desperate sells. Would that be fair to say, Tubes?
Yeah, it's fair to say. I don't know about the analogy of it not being it's been a dire trade week. That feels a bit like you being in the top 0.01% of rankings, and so your team's going well. And it's a bit like looking down at non-property owners blaming it on avocado toast and just not really knowing. You've lost sight of the reality of what's happening in the world.
So I'm a landlord. Right, I'm a landlord. I'm a landlord in this analogy.
Yeah. Yeah,
Multiple property owner.
You're in the privileged 0.1%, and me and Jono are just renting, trying to build our deposit. And so I think that it is a good week. I think it's a week that you're looking to upgrade to guns, and these are the way through. Like, we're going to talk about a few later on, but I think there's some really good premium options to look at bringing in both second row forward and center wing, and this is a good week to get them. It's just that there's not obvious, you know, cheapies or downgrade options, but I think it's a good week to solidify your 17 after some really good downgrade options over the last few weeks.
Let's chat about a couple of those options. And I just want to say, Tubes, the irony of that whole analogy is that I'm the only non-homeowner on this podcast. So congratulations to you, both you and Jono. Marweni Hirotti is 289K with a minus 61 break even. Woof. He's looked pretty strong for the Sharkies. I didn't realize he'd put on that bulk. Like, when I'd seen him play on the wing previously for the Sharks and back when he was at the Bunnies, Jono, you would have remembered young Marwene. He was kind of a wiry little character. He wasn't great. But he's come out. He's put back-to-back performances. He's got a try in both games for a couple of 70s. Pretty decent base plus power, I'll say. And he's 10.5% purchase this week. But, God, there's some question marks. Kale Iro is on the horizon. And the real question on prospective buyers' lists, not house buyers but Hirotti buyers, is when is Kale Iro back and how many weeks is enough weeks to justify the purchase?
Macco, do you want to read what NRL Physio put out today about the Kale Iro update?
Yeah, that'd be great. Big shout out to friend of the show.
So he, yeah, actual friend of the show. He said actual that Kale Iro is hoping to return in round 8, but he's a real 50-50. Round 8 to 9 is the likely range at the moment. So we're going to get another week out of Marweni Hirotti, but it might not be two. And you've got to consider, if you're bringing him in, is he worth it as a one-week buy? The argument on the flip side is that he's the next man up for Sharks. So even if he does get 1 week, is he not a bad one just to have stashed for next time the Sharks?
And Sharks play round 12.
But will they be missing anyone round 12? Probably not.
Well, it's more just if they, like you said, if there's an injury that he's next man up.
Yeah.
To fill that spot, and then he'll be there for round 12. My contention there would be that you just can't carry, like centre wing, you just can't carry Nuffs, I don't think, at this stage.
No. Look, I for the record, Matt, I'm with you. I'm leaning towards not getting Moeni Hirotti. I actually think we'll get to Billy Smith soon. I think if I was looking to downgrade there, I actually think I'd rather take the risk and bring in Billy a week early, even with him not playing this week. But I think your point is strong. I'm just saying that for the people who are bringing him in, if they were to be disappointed that he only got a week, it's not over. You don't have to trade him next week. He could still sit in there for now. But I do agree it's too important of a position and I'd rather not have Nuffs there.
Down to the other cheapie who's here but not here this week, Tubes, Billy Smith. Now, he's 317K, break-even at minus 57. He got a couple of meat pies on the weekend for the Chooks. He looked good. The hair looked good. Just the all-round aesthetic looked good of Billy Smith there at left centre. The issue that super coaches have is that he's suspended this week, so he's not playing. And Mark Nwanganitawase is back and will take his spot at left centre back. He's back from injury. The question is, does Billy Smith get his spot back in the team? And could it be viable if you're looking for a downgrade and you're not confident that Hirotti is going to get more than 1 week, of which it sounds like it's 50-50, according to the physio. Could Billy Smith be the alternative there as your downgrade option this week, a week ahead of time?
Yeah, I think so for sure. As Jono just said, I think I'd have him over Hirotti as well. Ideally, I'd like to make no downgrades this week. If you've already brought in a Dylan Egan in the second row, or there's not another downgradable player, then you needed to free up cash for other moves, then I'd probably bring in a Billy Smith over a Hirotti. I just think with that huge negative break even, I'm backing the eye test that I think he should be in the starting 13 for the Roosters. And even if for some reason he wasn't named next week, I don't think he's too far away then from making back into that 13. And as soon as he plays his next game, he's going to be making bulk cash. And we've just talked about their awesome buy schedule, playing all the big buy rounds. I think he'll be a hold all the way through to the end of the Origin period.
I'd agree with that. But I just how do you think, Tubes, they how does that team shake out? Is Dom Young the odd man out and then you get Marky Mark onto the wing? Or Toya?
Maybe, or Robert Toya. Mm. Yeah, I think it'll be Tata Toya.
Yeah, Billy Smith had a really good game on the weekend. I think you're probably right. I might give it a week just to make sure of that because I think you're right. If you are bringing him in, you're bringing him in through that bye period. Where hopefully he
I don't want either this week. It's just if you have to. If you have to.
I'd
go one Smith, two Hirotti.
Yep. Hirotti can just become a bit of a problem, but like both perfectly serviceable downgrade options. All right, let's move up into the 5/8 position here. And this is a Tigers only segment we're going to go tonight, fellas. Lockie Galvin, obviously. We spoke about this and fair to say his teammates have really, in a good sign of team culture, have really got around the boys and got around Benji with a few interesting social media posts, shall we say, in support of the club. And I think Taruva put one in, Jono, of a backpack in the locker, something like that. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, and Jerome Luai put up one saying team first. So it's been interesting to follow.
Well, in that spirit, let's talk about young Jerome. He has had a very, let's say, average to awful start to the season. He has gone, let me just get his data up. His last three games have been, what did he score against the Broncos and the, I've got some old data here, boys. You're going to have to help me out. How did he go on the weekend against the Knights?
Luai?
Yes.
Adam Dewey. Luai got 21 on the weekend.
Okay.
He's down to 370K. I don't think you can bring him in this week, even though they play the Parramatta Eels. But I definitely think he's on the watch list. We know he's a proven gun. He could easily get back up to that 500-600K mark. And surely the team has to be well and truly his. Galvin had so many touches. I can't see Dewey stepping into that Galvin-type role. So I think Luai, it's sort of Luai's time to step up and take on that dominant half role. And so I'm interested. It'll be a big watch for this weekend for me.
He's averaging 26.6 so far this season. He's got a break-even of 74. I'd be inclined just to have a look at him for a week, given that he's, yeah, so his last four scores have been 21, 19, 20, 19. I don't care what his role is. If that's the kind of numbers he's putting up, I could not possibly buy him at 370K this week, Jono.
Not a buy this week. He's one for the little black book. I am very interested to see how it all shakes out because we know what he can do. And he's been very content with just handing over the keys to Galvin and just being the step back, organised, keep things calm. I think whenever Luai has a point to prove, that's when he's at his most interesting as a footballer. And I think he's going to come out this weekend with a big point to prove. But I don't think he can bring him in with a break even of 74. He's also another one to consider. We've spoken about Origin a bit tonight. Origin should be a consideration for him. I think there's potential that he could play depending on how Moses comes back fitness-wise. But it's one to watch for now.
Yeah, I think he'd probably need an injury. I would say he's probably first cab off the rank if Moses or Cleary get injured. But yeah, he's just got to show something. Like they just Galvin out will help him, obviously, I would have thought. But 370K, yeah, just give me a look this week. Tubes, Adam Dewey. He is dual centre wing, 5'8". Now, he gets a chance to wear the 7 jersey with Galvin out. Latu Fainu is injured. I think he's out for about 5 or 6 weeks. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's around that. That should give him a reasonably good run. You know, I mean, a week's a long time in footy, and Lockie Galvin, it could be, you know, could be signing a 7-year extension with the Tigers by this time next week. So, don't want to count your chickens yet. I think for Dewey, it's just a case of owners are feeling good about themselves. But that's about it. I don't think you can really go near Dewey as a buy just yet.
Yeah, he's a donny. I still wouldn't go near him at the moment. Yeah, not for me. Not for me, Adam.
Yep. All right, let's move up to halfback now, fellas. And it's really like last man standing territory now in the halfback position. We saw a very popular pod buy last week, Jerome Hughes, fall by the wayside with a 16, which included a 40-20 miraculously after he injured his shoulder. Now, he's been named to play this week. Chibs, I'm going to start with you here on Hughesy. Would you consider, if he was not to line up this week, would you consider selling, or would you just given that's just enough of an indicator that the shoulder isn't too bad, that he's good enough to be named, and you just, you know, hang on to him? He's certainly got that perfect run coming up, and he's obviously always good through the Origin period.
I mean, who are you selling to? That's sort of the, like, what's the, that's the biggest challenge in half at the moment. I wouldn't sell him to Nico. If you didn't know Nico, yep. I would sell him to Cleary if you were a Nico Hughes jewel at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's probably it. Like,
surely there aren't many Nico Hughes combo owners out there.
You wouldn't think so, but I'm just sort of saying that's sort of the only case that I could make to sell Hughes this week. He's not even on the run sheet, but the halves we didn't talk about is the Parramatta ones, like Mitchell Moses,
yeah,
and Dillbags. So both available at halfback. Obviously, with Lomax out, Moses takes the kicking duties back, whether or not the Para score. But you've got to think they're priced in for more points with Moses back. They still haven't been great, but I would say that they've had a resurgence the last few weeks, coinciding with Jack Williams getting injured and out of the team, and
he's their pack
just looking
he's
a
back.
Little bit stronger. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, okay. But anyway, I think Moses that will obviously have a big impact. He could be the flyer, 651K. Kicking goals, and whether or not you think Dillbags is an option with Moses back because he's, you know, to increase his output a little bit as well, slip down into the 5-8 role, plays round 12 origin period.
I can't get around Moses, you know, not straight off the bat. Like, let's see it first. He's playing origin. Dillbags I'm going to be a little bit more interested, but Jono, I just still, even with Moses back, I still just don't have a ton of faith in Eel scoring many points.
No, I'm with you. I mean, he's just so cheap, though, Dillbags. And to be fair, they did come, second last or last year as well, didn't they? Deals end up being second last.
They had the spoon bowl.
That's right. And Dillbags was still a reliable option, even with that being said. When Moses was there, he still looked great and the team looked better when Moses was there. But I think it's an option. I would wait to see a week and look how it all pans out. The other thing with Jerome Hughes, you mentioned, Matt, if he's laid out this week, I don't know if you guys saw, but Danny Boy put in our group chat that the Storm had the buys around 12 and 15. So if he's to miss this week, Hughes, he misses, three of their next nine games, which is not ideal at all. So you'd hope he's playing this week. I think if he wasn't, I would look at making one of those moves potentially, depending on the rest of my team's circumstance.
Yeah, you mentioned Nico Hines tubes. Like, I definitely wouldn't be selling to Nico. I don't think there's anyone to sell Hughes to. I'd be holding Hughes, like, at least through to round 12 if I was an owner. He's not, like, he's 17, 13K, so he's dropped a little bit of coin, but Melbourne have just got such a good run. He's just a premium option there if he is fit. And even if he's not, then I'll give him a week, and if he's out next week, then you can always trade him then. Nico tubes, 38 on the weekend. It's getting worse every week for Nico at this point in time. Like, Tricky Trindle's dominating that left side, and then on the weekend he started bobbing up on the right.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for the Nico believers in Supercoach.
Which we're card-carrying members.
We're card-carrying members of the Nico fan club, and look, I feel like we keep talking about it every week. I don't think it's great for the Sharks the way that this is rolling out. It's not good for Nico's super coach. He still does have the goal kicking, and they come up against the Knights this week. Is it at Shark Park?
It's at whatever Newcastle's ground's called these
McDonald
days.
McDonald Stadium.
McDonald Jones.
So I don't think I think. Like, the Sharks are going to have some points in them. I think Nico has to be a hold. I feel like you say it gets worse every week. I keep saying that's got to be his floor. 38's got to be his floor, surely. Like, I'm thinking about captaining him this weekend, so maybe that's an indication to sell.
You can't
captain,
no, you're
not. You're not.
Nico.
Thinking about it.
No way.
No way. I just realised the irony of me having a dig at the Knights with their stadium names, and I'm a Sharks fan. I actually drove past Shark Park today, and they've still got the PointsBet Stadium on the outside. I don't even know what we're called this year. I think it's Shark Stadium or something. But anyway, Nico, I'm holding for now. just praying. I'm definitely not captaining those tubes.
Send him off! Send the dressing gates off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical!
Maybe a VC, but not for me this week. Hugo Savala, Jono, you mentioned pre-pod that you're actually considering him at 198k this week. He's got a lot. Did you hear his kicking game was quite good on the weekend?
There's been a lot of chat about the old kicking game, hasn't there? I think if I bring him in, it won't be at the position we're discussing now. It wouldn't be at halfback. I'd be bringing him in at second row forward. He's
right.
He's got that dual flexibility, which is nice. He's 198k. Because of his previous performance, his break even is still 42. So if you are someone looking at him, you don't have to go Hugo and Hugo this week. You could wait a week and see how it all pans out. But I just think he's a decent downgrade option. I know that the thing that people are saying is, oh, all he's going to do is kick the ball and pass. That's all his role has to be. I don't think you can make that assumption based on one game where it was his first grade debut. He was clearly given a really simple role. Matt, you talked about his New South Wales Cup stats last week on this show. He averaged 60 in New South Wales Cup, and that was coming through from a ton of try assists. So he's correct. Not just one of these, I'm just going to pass and kick the ball guys. He has a lot more ability than that. And I think that, yes, he got a 20 on the weekend. I don't think that's going to be what we expect to see from him week in, week out. The Roosters also have a great bye period. And I know, Tubes, one of your things this year was you don't want to bring in these guys for the bye period who aren't good. But I think that's a lot more for those mid-rangers that you don't want to keep. Like guys like Sean Lane, who's like, hey, he's 400K, but I'll keep him, even though he should sell. I think that's different to a genuine cheapie. So I do like him. I like him more than most.
If we've established anything tonight, it's that the Roosters are a good team for the buys. I do want to say about Hugo Savala that, look, Siwa Wong was a, like, I'm not going to get away with it. I put up that I was going to buy Wong last week. I didn't buy Wong due to circumstances, mainly around Dylan Egan. That Wong's low score was in no small part down to Savala not feeding him, giving him good ball. Obviously, the Chad is a very good distributor, let's say. he was giving Wong some good early ball previously. But yeah, I can't see myself bringing in Savala this week. But I think you're right, Jono. Look, let's talk about 2RF in a little bit. We're segueing up to 2RF. Perfect.
Jeez, you're drawing a long bow there, Matt. Like that chat. Like
yeah,
Chad Savala.
It's pretty either way. It's pretty hard for us to go a pod without mentioning our pod favourites, Jack Williams and Chad Townsend. So I heard once that your mention of Jack just gave me a bit of inspo to get Chad, make sure we get Chad into the pod. Anyway, let's get up to 2RF, Hugo Savala's dual position. And I think that this is just by far and away the most interesting position in Supercoach at the moment. We've got cheapies who are making money like Hubner, Tommy Cant, and now Dylan Egan, who's obviously burst onto the scene with a 99 on the weekend in his starting debut, which he played 80 minutes. The real interesting thing about Dylan Egan is that 80-minute role going to continue? He's been named on the bench this week. There was a little bit of chat about Luciano Leilua being a little bit crook before that game. Who knows if that's correct or not, but we did see Egan get the 80 minutes with Christian Tuipulotu going off injured, which obviously caused a bit of a reshuffle on the edges there. John, I'm going to start with you here. First of all, I know you bought Egan. Is that correct on the weekend?
Yes.
Yes. If you hadn't bought, and this is the situation I find myself in, it's pretty clear that he's a buy if he does start, I think. If he doesn't start and he does start on the benches named, he's 310K, minus 55 break even. Would you be avoiding or would you be jumping on still, even with that probably likely 45 to 50-minute role?
If I had someone that I was looking to downgrade in the position, yes, I'd still look at jumping on board because I think we just saw on the weekend what a good footballer he is. It's a big eye test pass. And like as in with an extended minutes role, I also think that he's going to get 50 to 55 to 60 minutes. I think he's going to force him in that range, whether he's starting or off the bench. I'd feel pretty comfortable. He was getting 50 over the first couple of weeks, and those bigger minutes last week, he seemed pretty fresh and fit, and it didn't seem to bother him. So I think if I had the right guy to downgrade, yes, I would still bring him in this week with that negative 55 break even. I really like what I saw of him.
Yeah, 12.
I think it's 100%.
Yeah. What? Even if he's on the bench?
Doesn't matter. Bring him in. With that rolling score and his rolling average, he's got a big negative break even. Even with his bench roll, if he just went back to that for the next 2 weeks, he'll probably average 50. He still makes 150K, and that's the worst case scenario. I think he's a flannel boy. He's shown on the weekend that he can play big minutes. And that's going to be that'll be imprinted in Flano's mind now. He knows that. He knows he can do it. And I think that there's only upside there. If the downside is that he's going to make 150K over the next 2 weeks, that's not the worst. And I think he's the absolute best downgradable option. I think you'd be crazy not to be doing it.
My predicament, Tubes, is who do I sell to him? So there are guys like maybe Naff White at a pinch, who we'll chat a bit about him in the front row. Jack Goz is an obvious choice now. He's out for 8 to 10 weeks with that broken arm. If you're still holding on to him, which 16-17% of teams still are. Tommy Gilbert, Alex Seyfarth are probably good options to downgrade to Egan, no matter what. Jermaine Hopgood, fine. Bo Fermor, fine. But then you get into guys like who are very highly owned guys like Lockie Hubner, who's got a break even of 2 this week, still making money. Corey Horsbrough, who's been an absolute revelation after his down year last year. He's got a break even in the 30s, very manageable. His minutes are a bit iffy, but Tommy Starling, for those who can flip a hooker up, he's had a big game on the weekend, got a low break even in the high 20s, I think. Matty Nicholson, you're not selling. Connor Watson, you're not selling. Tino, you're obviously not selling. So who do I, who amongst this lot are, reasonable sales tubes?
I mean, you mentioned a few there that like whether it's Naff White, whether you look at a front row forward. I think if you owned an AFB, you could look at selling him. If you're flipping Tino up, I think you could consider Horse as a sell option for the 64% of teams that own him. I think it's all very team dependent. But I think that everyone's got to have one option. But if I have to go to the absolute extreme, would I sell Horse for Egan this week for 250K? If it was worth an upgrade somewhere else, I think that I would.
Would you sell Horse over Tom Starling?
No. Sell Starling straight away over Horse, yeah.
You'd sell Starling first?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Bit of food for thought there. I'm not as strong on the Egan buy if he's on the bench. Thankfully, that's first game of the round, so we'll know. If he starts, yes, have to get him, no doubt, because he could get that 80-minute roll. Like Tubes said, I do understand what Tubes is saying, and I think that's very compelling, is that because he's a Flano boy, he's going to get that 50 minutes, I think, no matter what. He's got that from the first game he's ever played. I was messaging a good mate of mine who's a bit of an insider at the Dragons today, and he was saying that he's been hearing about Dylan Egan for 2 years. The raps have been that strong on him leading into first grade. So, yeah, I think Tubes is probably right, and I think you just don't overthink it. Probably just bring him in if you can. If you can't, if you've got no one to sell him to, then give a good think about it. Let's chat about Corey Horsbrough, Jono, because he is now 551K. He had a fantastic game on the weekend. 68 points in 45 minutes. He had a big stint off there. To begin the second, I think it was just before halftime, and then to begin the second half, he was offloading at will. He was involved in everything. He was distributing. He was playing lock. Now he's named in the front row jersey number 8 this week. He's gone back to back the last two games where his minutes have been down. So he was averaging sort of in that 57 minutes to start the year, even 60 a couple of games. He's gone 52-45. Now, to me, that's just a huge red flag for Horse's prospects. The thing that's really nagging at me, though, is Son of John going to boot him out of the Origin team?
What's the question?
Yeah, I was going to say.
After all that.
I think you started talking for so long, I forgot who you threw to and what the question actually was.
Look, I'd say that it's because I was worried about you guys had already spoken about this on the Sunday Snap, but I actually haven't listened yet. So, look, I'm just trying to do my best here to chat about Corey and his prospects of being a sell or not. Jono, my question is, are we going to keep seeing this limited minute role, Corey Horsbrough, and is he going to get picked for Origin?
Okay. So that's where Son of John came in. All right. I'll do my best, Matt, with what I've been given here. I think that the minutes are going to sit around that 45 to 50 minute mark. I do have concerns about that, mainly so that Zach Hosking is back off the bench this week. And I think that could have a flow-on effect for both the Horse and Matty Nicholson, because the man he's replacing, Simi Sasangi, was playing a very limited role off the bench and only playing second row forward. He wasn't spending any time in the middle. I think that with Hosking coming back, either Hosking or Nicholson are going to be spending time in the middle. And I think that could be bad for – I don't think it means Horse is going to go lower than 45, but it does concern me about him seeing those 60s that we were seeing earlier in the year. I think he's going to be around that 45 to 50-minute mark as his role moving forward.
All right, let's chat quickly about these premium guys up the top of second row. David Fifita, 681K. He's been named to start Tubes this week alongside Fermor. Dez has a bit of a proclivity for a bit of Cleese Haas action on the edge there. Do you see Fifita and Fermor starting on the edges this week?
Yeah, I think so. Given he's been named, I think, and also just how amazing he was on the weekend. Like, it'd be crazy to not be trying to play him 70-plus minutes given the run that they've been having. I think it's a real head-to-head battle, him versus Eli Katoa. It's certainly for me this week, and I think you want both in your team in the long term, but who's a priority? I actually think David Fifita is more of a priority, but I'm sort of stuck a little bit that I own way too many Gold Coast Titans, and I'm just not sure whether or not I should bring in another one. But at 80K cheaper, I think David Fifita is the option over, say, an Eli Katoa. He's got 128 in his break-even, in his rolling average now. He's going to be back to that sort of 70-plus minute role. And he's just the proven – he's potentially the best super coach player going around or has been in previous seasons when he's on. Yep. So I think you basically – this is the week to get him. And I've currently got ECAT in my side, but I'm sort of talking myself into another Titan for this week.
Yeah, you boys are doing a pretty good job talking me into a few trades. I was planning no trades at the start of this pod, but now I'm looking at Fifita and Egan already. The second row structure is interesting. Like, there's so many playable options in most people's teams now. Hubner's kind of the only guy that most people own that's not particularly playable, but Matty Nicholson's doing a great job. Obviously, Horsbrough, Tino, who are both in most people's second rows because of Haas and May doing so well. So it's a bit of an interesting conundrum at second row, like you said, and those premium options are interesting. You've got Hudson Young floating around as well, who's had a fantastic start. He's 728K, break even a 5 now. So, plenty to consider at 2RF. I think David Fifita is definitely the punt option. If you think he's going to get the minutes, but it's definitely a risk. So Eli Katoa is just that proven gun option.
No.
Very safe expected minutes. And, I think Fifita is probably the difference maker there, though. Up to front row forward now, we'll only have to be pretty quick here because we've got Naff White, 550K. He's had his first real down week of the year, Jono, with a 37. Notwithstanding that Roosters draw, he is probably someone that is movable. You'd be able to move on from if you had to. You know, you needed an Egan or someone this week, or an upgrade to a Fifita, a 2RF, or even a Joey Taps.
Yeah, look, his minutes were still fine last week. They didn't go down. I know the scoring was a bit down. His base plus power wasn't as strong as it had been. I think, Matt, pre-pod, you used the term a basey game. It wasn't a very basey game. Roosters versus Broncos one, so a lot of the work didn't come his way. But I think, look, I would, if Naff White was my way to Fifita, maybe I'm underthinking this. I think Fifita is the most obvious bring in this week of all time. He's if you had told me at the start of the year that David Fifita was starting and was priced at 680K, he would have been in 50% of Supercoach teams. So if Naf White, I wouldn't even overthink it. If Naf White was my way of getting to him at only 130K price difference, lock that in.
Yeah, it probably can't go too wrong. It's just I'm just concerned about those minutes. He has gone up in minutes every week though, so maybe now that Dez is happy with his fitness that he's going to maintain that sort of bigger minutes role. Tubes, I mentioned Joey Tarpany there. He's had another huge ton. He's had an amazing start to the season. He had a try and a try assist on the weekend. How are you feeling about this sort of, you know, obviously everyone's running Haas and May. Is there room for a 750K Joey Tarpany?
I don't think so now. Unfortunately, I think the ship sailed a little bit on that one. There was some chat. There was some chat a little bit earlier when he first came back that, you know, with so many premium front rowers going well, that he was priced well and he was looking good after that first week. But I can't see that you're bringing in a premium front row forward at 743K, especially given how well May, Haas and Tino are performing with the flexibilities there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, like, whilst I'd love to own Tarpany, I just think that the amount of attack he's got is just unsustainable and, you know, you can't rely on that every week. Obviously, you're going to get some good scores out of him, but for the price he is now, I probably am not going anywhere near it. Let's round out our positional analysis, Jono, with our hooker position, and really a couple of sort of the guys to talk about up here this week are a couple of buy options, and I'm talking about Wade Egan and Harry Grant because they're very similar, 614K and 615K respectively, both very sort of manageable break-evens, 49 and 61. Harry had a bust-out game on the weekend with an 81. He's got the draw. Chatting to producer Gramsy pre-pod, he's bringing in Wade Egan this week. I'd probably be on the Harry Grant purchase side. Where would you sit on that debate?
Yeah, what is there, a 1K price difference between them? I think it's without question I'd be bringing in Harry Grant over Wade Egan. It doesn't even seem like a contest for me. I think Wade Egan's a good player. Don't mind what he offers as a football player, but for a 1K price difference, I think Harry Grant, he's not going to be that cheap again this year for me. I understand he's going to play Origin. Yep. I get all that, but Wade Egan is a concussion or a minor niggling injury away from becoming slipping right down that price. And I think with them at the same price, I wouldn't even consider Wade Egan.
Yep, I'm with you. Harry Grant all the way for me. All right, guys, let's get into our pod of the week. I'm going to kick off with YouTubes. Who is your pod of the week this week? We've got some nice low ownership ones here.
Yeah, my man this week, I actually had to take him out of the center wing run sheet. Bit of controversy doing that, yeah. So I'll have to give him a big push here. And it's Jacob Kiraz from the Bulldogs. He's 702K. He's currently traded in by 2.4%, but he's only 1% owned at the moment. So sort of in that 3% range. He's only had one game back from injury. And it was only a 61, but I think it was the way he went about getting that 61. Like, it was all base plus power and basically looking to offload every step of the way. They've got the Bunnies this weekend. I think it's pretty clear to me that the Bulldogs are a top four team and going to be contending this year. And I think Jacob Kiraz has been a premium gun option even when the Bulldogs weren't a contending team. I think he's a must-have for the remainder of the run home, and I want him for this Good Friday clash against the Bunnies this Friday.
You mentioned he's only sort of 2 to 3% owned, Tubes, with the traders this week. The top 1% of you definitely agree. He's 15% purchased in the top 1% this week. So a few shrewd super coaches out there have already begun to bring him in. Jono, who is your pot of the week?
Love Tubes, it's called Kiraz, and I've gone for one of his teammates. Matt Burton is my pot of the week this week. Coming back in, big game against the Rabbitohs for Good Friday. I think the Rabbitohs, people are saying it's a big, you know, near top of the table clash. I think the Dogs are a significantly better team than the Rabbitohs with all those injuries. And we mentioned the Dogs run over Origin. It's really nice. I think Burton's chances of making Origin are limited. Maybe he's an 18th man because of his versatility, but I think it's unlikely he's a part of the Origin picture. And he was just Mr. Consistent last year. If you look at his 2024 numbers, he was basically going between 50 to 80 nearly every single week. Only available at 5'8", but I do think that if you had the jewels to move someone up to halfback, if you were looking at trading out one of these guys, he would be a good one to bring in.
Just while we're chatting 5'8", quickly, because we didn't chat about him during the pod, Jaden Campbell obviously had that big score, a relatively big score for not doing a lot on the weekend of 83. Would you prefer Jaden Campbell still if you were like a Lockie Galvin owner moving someone out there, or would you maybe look for a Burton as that pod option?
Yeah, I'd go Campbell if I didn't own him.
Yep, yep. Cool. My pod of the week is...
Flex.
Flex, baby. Shout out to the Flex. my pod of the week is... this is no prizes for finding this one, but he had 148 on the weekend. Xavier Coates from the Melbourne Storm. Now, Xavier is a well-known proposition in Supercoach land. He's 509K. He's got a break even of minus 16, which doesn't scream buy me now for a 500K player coming off 148. But the key point there is that with another decent score next week, his break even is going to be like minus 60 something. If he gets over 90, his break even will be minus 60. And we were chatting last week a lot about Grant Anderson, and he was highly purchased, and he was a similar price. With far less job security, and we know that Coates can go on these runs. So if you can, you know, with that really cushy Melbourne draw, if you can get sort of 5 tries in 4 games or so out of Coates in the next 4 games, I think that that's just like just a flyer. I don't mind it as a bit of a pod strategy to go after Coates. And I know he's not everyone's cup of tea because his base isn't very good and he gets injured a lot. But just as one that, you know, could separate you from the crowd, you know, he's very lowly owned him. I'm looking at the top 1% here, and he's only 1% owned. When we look at all coaches, let me just get that up. He is only 5% owned, so very much in the pod range. Well done to those who bought him in for last week. Tubes, captains this week, what are you going with?
I'm honestly struggling. It's a tough week. I'm finding
it is a tough week for captains
to yep. really solidify. If I bring in Kiraz, I'm genuinely thinking of VCing him yep. against the Bunnies.
I like it.
With a good base and a bit of upside. Move. Yeah, I love a bring in and then put the C or VC on him.
Like, king of the shiny new toy tubes.
Yeah, love a shiny new toy. And then I'm honestly tossing up. I'm genuinely thinking Nico. I could double down on Ponga, I could be looking at Jaden Campbell from the Titans against the Raiders up at Seabus. So let's hope Kiraz does well because could be a long weekend otherwise.
Jono?
Of the players that I own, I'm currently have the VC sitting on Reece Walsh up against the Warriors on Saturday Arvo. I like that matchup for Reece. I think, like we spoke about with him earlier, he is due to have a really big exploding game soon. Why not this week? And then my captain is currently on Nathan Cleary against the Roosters. I just think that the Panthers, I've probably been saying it for the last 3 weeks, but I think they're going to bounce back. And I think that Cleary is going to be a big part of that. If I owned Gutho, I'd be taking a good look at him against the Sea Eagles on Thursday night. They haven't been very impressive of recent times.
Just beware that short turnaround between those Broncos and Panthers games there, Jono.
So yeah, I know. You have 5 minutes to make up your mind.
Yep. Yeah, look, I love Tubes' shout. If I was to bring Kiraz, which I'm considering, I'd be VCing him for sure. V Souths, I think he could go really big. If not, probably VC Cleary or Walsh, similar to you, Jono. And then I'll be captain in Pappenhausen against the Dolphins. They're before that. Ooh, gee, that makes it tricky. It could be. It could. I think Pappenhausen is the best captaincy option again this week. Teddy is obviously a great captain as well. So, I'm going to have to think about that. I might, if that's the case, I might be VC Pappenhausen, C Cleary. So, I wouldn't be captaining Walsh straight out of here. I think he's VC only. Should be a good one this weekend. Tubes, thank you for your, good to have you back on the Tuesday pod this week. It's been a few weeks. So lovely to have you around again.
Yeah. Cheers, Matt.
And Jono, congratulations. Been a fantastic regular pod season debut for you. And once again, congratulations on all the Sunday Sap success. Love having you around, and you've been an excellent contributor to the SC Ballers debut season.
Thanks, mate. It's been nice not having to host tonight, actually, just being able to sit back a little bit, chip in here and there with the odd comment and leave all the organisation to you. You have been the Hugo Savala of the pod, just kicking and passing, kicking to the corners, passing to me in tubes. It's been nice.
Mate, I've been trying to cut tubes out like Siwa Wong, but it just haven't had much success. thanks, mate. And, next time I'll definitely be getting you to host. So, just get ready for that one. And, tubes, you can send us off tonight.
You beauty.